Welcome to Coatesville Connection, bringing you interesting interviews and homilies from clerical and religious leaders in the city of Coatesville. Each month, Holy Spirit Radio highlights a unique aspect of the city and its people of faith. And now, here is your host, Barbara Schenkel.
Good morning and welcome to Coatesville Connection. This morning we're joined by Father Peter Welsh from St. Joseph's Parish in Coatesville. Welcome, Father.
Good morning, Barbara.
And you're here to tell us about the very special guest we have today.
Yes, today we will have Father Larkins, who has organized the Outdoor Stations of the Cross here in Coatesville for over 30 years. And they are a bilingual presentation, English and Spanish, and there's a gathering at the parking lot of St. Cecilia Church, and then walking through the streets, different sites in Coatesville. I guess the two features of this is that, you know, you see so many people just stopping to view the procession of those walking, and just the gathering of the people, the very reverent participation in meditating on the Lord's final journey to Calvary.
Well, let's welcome Barbara in right now. Welcome, Barbara. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a mother, a grandmother. I've worked in our church rectory for 21 years, which gave me a lot of opportunity to reach out to the community and our parish community in so many ways. My job ended when our church closed.
But, we're talking, I'm here just for our listeners, we're talking about St. Cecilia Church in Coatesville. We're speaking with Barbara Larkins. Again, I'm sorry to interrupt, Barbara, but I'm thinking that maybe people didn't realize where you were, which church you were from, because there's three in Coatesville.
Yes. Yes. I am married to a wonderful man for almost 48 years, and we've been living in the Coatesville area for almost 38 years.
So active in St. Cecilia's Parish, and then when that closed, what happened?
Well, my job ended, as most of them did, and then I just retired. But I've tried to stay. I'm now a member of St. Peter's Parish and trying to be a little more active there, not to the degree of activity that I was in at St. Cecilia's, but still trying to plug in where I can.
Sure, and one of the things that you came up with, or what happened during your time, your long tenure there at St. Cecilia's, was this wonderful Stations of the Cross that is actually a beautiful public witness of Christ's passion, and this is done throughout the streets of Coatesville. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I can, as a family, we have four children, as a family we participated. I can go back to 1985 and Father Doyle doing it. I know we have been doing it at least that long. The stations, we have, now we have, at that time we had 14 stopping places. Now we have 15. We've changed the stations around a little bit. But and at each stop along the town, and each place represented something of the community. We stopped as a group, prayed at the house, specific prayers. Prayers might have been for the drugs in our community. We pray for the police and firemen for our community. We pray for ministers and priests and ecumenism. We pray for justice. And this would be throughout the town. We would in between marching time, we would have our musicians playing music, and we'd be singing songs. So it was a sense of marching to a stop, stopping, saying our prayers, and then continuing on to the next place with music, and continue that throughout the town.
Where would you typically start in Coatesville?
We would start at the back of St. Cecilia's in their parking lot, and we'd go down Chestnut Street, down to as far as the second street where the bank is. We would cross over Lincoln Highway, go behind to City Hall, back to the Lincoln Highway where the towers is, and then straight up Lincoln Highway back to St. Cecilia's.
And you had how many stations there?
At that time, in the beginning, we had 14. Now we have 15. We use St. John Paul II stations, which has 15, the last being the empty tomb, and that one is done in church, and inside St. Cecilia's Church.
So you had 14, and this was an ecumenical effort, joined by other members of the church community there in Coatesville?
Very strongly. All of it, United Methodist Church was always a part of us. There are people joining us. We would go into the one time, Father Chalette actually went inside to Olivet Church and did one of the seven last words for their, what they were doing, and then came out. And as he came out, all of us came out of the church and started to process again, a lot of the people from Olivet joined us. Reverend John Carlson, as long as he was pastor here in town, from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, was also an active member, where he would come and participate. He would often read one of the Stations of the Cross. Reverend Dan Wagner from Towerville was another one who would join us in prayer. So it has had a real ecumenical flavor to it. Other pastors along in the beginning would sometimes join us. So it has had that real flavor of ecumenism.
And now, what would you be using in terms of your prayers, and what would you be reciting as you went through the various stations? Did you have a specific scriptural reference or a papal reference? What did you use?
Well, we have one. The one we're using today, the 15 station one, has a specific reference, biblical reference, and then it has a prayer. There's a person reciting most of it, and at the end, there is a public prayer where everyone prays. Done in English and in Spanish. That has been also a progression over the years. Yeah, having the Spanish join us in this wonderful day that we can proclaim our faith out in the open and be very proud of our faith.
Again, those prayers are handwritten or written by...
They came from different sources. There's a book out, Pope John Paul II, Stations of the Cross. He was one of the references we used, and then other sources. Father Doyle, in the beginning, came with one set of outdoor Stations of the Cross. They were changed, I think, twice since then, mostly to keep with the change in town, keep up with town, and keep up with the changing times, because sometimes we were in a good economic, a good financial time. Other times we were really, our economy was struggling. So we changed the stations to kind of reflect what was happening at that time. But the sources were from different books, different religious books.
First of all, maybe we should clarify, when are these stations going to be actually recited?
They're always on Good Friday at 12 o'clock noon we start. It takes approximately 2 hours to walk through town. The only time the stations haven't been held is if we've had severe rain, and then... Now we go into church if the rain is too bad and we're afraid of walking, and getting too wet, because people bring their children, their babies. It's a family thing. Everybody comes with their families and walks, so we don't want anyone to, be walking in rain. So we go into church, and that takes about an hour. Coatesville today is a different community than when we started in 85.
Tell us about the changes. What's different?
Well, first of all, the biggest thing, change for us is the fact that St. Cecilia's is no longer an active parish. That, was for us a time that was really a parish, even though everybody was invited. In fact, we've had friends from different parishes throughout the area come and do these stations with us. It was a St. Cecilia at that time. It was a St. Cecilia, activity. It was mostly St. Cecilia's people who were coming. There would be a cross bearer at the beginning. There would be the altar boys who would, be with us, that would lead the procession through town. And, we would have a pretty decent PA system so that we could be heard you know, throughout the sometimes there are crowds that swell over to over 100 people.
Well, I remember Father Francis Mulrainin, and we used to have, he was the original priest we had here on Coatesville Connection, so I'm sure you remember him fondly as well.
Very well.
Yeah.
We still miss Father. He was a real delight to have as a priest, as a pastor, and as a boss for me.
Yeah, very, very special.
Yes, he is.
Okay, so let's talk about what the prayers are for Coatesville today. I know you mentioned drugs.
Well, they're basically the same. The yeah. prayers were universal back in 85, and they're still there today. We're still praying for the drug situation because there's still drugs in the street. We're still praying for our ministers. We're still praying for our police and our firemen. And I must say, I have to give Coatesville Police a real kudos, because every year when we're walking, they're there to protect us. There's at least two police vehicles or an ambulance or something, one in the front of the crowd directing traffic so to keep us moving, and one behind to keep us safe so that no one, you know, comes too close to the crowd in their car. So the police have always been very helpful and very much a part of the march in the sense of keeping the people protected.
Right, and that's very important. Now, I hate to even say this, but they are predicting snow for Sunday. So hopefully the streets will be clear by Good Friday.
I'm anxiously waiting for the weather to come on for next Friday. I've been every night watching and hoping that, looking at it to see that it doesn't look too bad. The weather we've been having this year has been really nice. I mean, normally March, we're marching in winter coats. You know, March is usually pretty cold. This March has been different, so I'm hoping that we get, you know, a nice day.
Yeah.
Something where it won't be too bad for everyone, yes. Because, like I said, I will mention Eileen Weaver and George Gregory. They're the two that of our musicians who play guitars that have to strum the guitar. So anything too cold or especially rain wouldn't work.
Right.
The Spanish also bring in a group of people to sing the Spanish songs so that we rotate. That's one thing that is a big change today. The stations are rotated. The first one is English, the second one is Spanish, third one is English, fourth one is Spanish, until we're completely done.
We're speaking with Barbara Larkins, and we're going to take a quick break for station identification. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
You are listening to Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM in Doylestown, 1420 AM in Coatesville and Chester County.
Por la vía dolorosa, triste día en Jerusalén. Los soldados le abrían paso a Jesús, mas la gente se acercaba para ver a quien llevaba aquella cruz. Por la vía dolorosa, que es la vía de Cristo, Rey Señor, y fue Él quien quiso ir por su amor, por ti y por mí, por la vía dolorosa al Calvario. Chose to walk that road of out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Barbara Larkins. We're talking about living stations that Coatesville has been doing for many years. It's a public witness of the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, always performed on Good Friday. And Barbara, you're here to tell us about that bilingual stations. You have now a very strong Hispanic community there in Coatesville, and they're very much a part of these stations.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. They have been a growing number throughout the years. And I know if I look back, I have to smile because our early attempts to bring them in was not real strong. We were kind of letting them come along with us and saying a few prayers in Spanish, but luckily we have developed that into a full-blown participation. To a point where one time we would have English books and Spanish books. Now there's just one book that's both English and Spanish. So I do see the English trying to say, read along with the Spanish as we go along, and I see the Spanish trying to follow along with the English when the English are saying their station. So I do see people make an attempt to be a part of both.
That's great. Talk a little bit about how many people usually are coming out for these living stations, and how old and how young and how arduous is the walk?
Our numbers aren't quite where they had been in the past. We used to have, like I said, we would swell well over 100, maybe 120 people. It was funny because no matter what we started with, and it always seemed to grow as we went along. Many of our parishioners today have aged or have passed away, so those who were really active in participating. The group numbers, I would still say we number close to 100 as we finally finish up towards the end. We still have people who will come into the group as we are marching around town. But on occasion we've had some people come, you know, just on the street, follow us and join us. And I find it a little arduous because I have back issues. But for the most part, I don't think anyone finds it that arduous. Our pace is to a point where everybody can do it. People have pushing babies in strollers and little children are walking. So it doesn't seem to be arduous, for most people.
What is the reaction of the public when you are doing this very vocal recitation of Our Lord's Passion? What are passerbyers' reactions?
Well, I think when we're on Lincoln Highway, mostly people in cars and trucks, people maybe driving through town who don't know what we're doing. We will get, you know, seem to get a little bit of a strange stare. I think sometimes they can't imagine what's going on. But I think overall, well, like I said, it's always been somewhat accepted by different faiths. So I think overall we get a very respectful, I think is a good word, from the different, say, families that would sit on the step of their porch and watch us go by. Or we find people like at the library who will come out and members who are working that day will come join us for prayer. So it kind of flows as it goes with its own way. And I think for the most part, people just find us very respectful. I do remember one year when two girls came into the rectory when we were done and wanted to know more about the Catholic faith because of what we had done on the street.
Yeah. Great evangelization tool. And I know so many people in this culture now may not even be aware that it is Good Friday, or if they are aware, they're not certainly observing it.
Not like we used to. I remember when the stores used to close for 3 hours and, you know, where people, when I was a child, you know, everything was came to a dead halt because it was the 3 hours that Jesus hung on the cross.
Mm.
I do find that people today don't observe Good Friday like it used to be. And there are a lot of things that aren't observed anymore like they used to be.
Well, and some things are timeless, really, and shouldn't really ever go away. And so this is a great public witness, a reminder of what this day is all about, Good Friday, and why it's so important to the salvation of the world. So we applaud you for being able to participate in this event for so many years and just bring this evangelization and acknowledgement of how much our Lord suffered to the general public at large, even if it's just a glance or, as you say, maybe a spark in someone's heart to pursue their faith a little more deeply or to ask questions about the Catholic faith.
Right.
It's really wonderful to see our faith proclaimed in the streets.
I must say that it has become like my child over the years. You know, I was the one who was responsible for getting everything together and making contact with the police and doing everything I needed to do and contacting different ministers. Like even this year, if Reverend Davis is available from Olivet, he'll read one of the Stations of the Cross when we get down to in front of Olivet Church. The amazing thing, though, is that even after all these years of doing this, and I still, by the time when we get done, there's still such a swell in my heart that, you know, we've done this, and that's how I spent my Good Friday marching through town and with my brethren and just expressing our love for Jesus and for what he had to do for us to save us. That never goes away. We always end with the song, How Great Thou Art, How Great Thou Art. That became our kind of our theme song. But that's what we end with as our last song, our last thing that we do for the Stations in church. So many people come out, and like, you know, today, some of our elderly people, it's not the easiest thing to do. It's just as easy to sit home and get in a comfortable chair and maybe read some Bible verses, but to come out and march with us still is a commitment on their part that I appreciate.
Okay, Barbara, where would people go if they want more information about this or if they want to actually join you this Friday?
If they want to join us, they would go into Coatesville and behind the church sits on 6th and Chestnut Streets. We meet behind the church in the parking lot that's directly behind the church there. And we start at 12 o'clock. There'll be a police car out front. If the weather's nice, and we can all pray for that. If the weather's nice, there'll be a police car there so they can see that, and that's where it will be. You won't see the crowds from out if you're on Chestnut or on 6th because we're, like, tucked in. We start at 12, and then we walk down to in front of the rectory, which is right on 6th Avenue, and from there we head down Chestnut Street. So they can join us at any point, at any time.
It's a very special way to observe our Lord's Passion on Good Friday in Coatesville. We've been speaking with Barbara Larkins, and Father Peter Welsh will be the moderator for the Stations of the Cross in Coatesville. And Father, we'll bring you back right now for a concluding prayer.
The prayer for the upcoming entrance into Holy Week, Passion Sunday. Almighty ever-living God, who as an example of humility for the human race to follow, caused our Savior to take flesh and submit to the cross, graciously grant that we may heed his lesson of patient suffering and so merit a share in his resurrection. It is arranged with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. Father, do you have any advice for our listeners as they enter into Holy Week? What's the best thing they can do to partake of this week?
Well, I like this passage. I always go back to it. It's from St. Gertrude, great. And it's, what the Lord shared with her about the devotion to the Passion. It says here, it was revealed to St. Gertrude that reading and meditating on the Passion are far more useful and efficacious than all other spiritual exercises. I like this image that he presents here. As those who handle flour, okay, you're in the kitchen, you're baking something, as those who handle flour cannot avoid contracting some whiteness, so too, however imperfect his devotion may be, can occupy his mind with the Passion of our Lord without receiving some benefit from it. And however cold and lukewarm our devotion, our Lord will look upon us with greater long-suffering and mercy if we never omit the memory of his Passion.
Wow, that's beautiful. Well, on behalf of Father Peter Welsh and Holy Spirit Radio, we'd like to wish all of our listeners a very holy and fruitful Holy Week as we go and enter into the mystery of the Passion of our Lord and Savior, and a very blessed and holy and happy Easter. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.